John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Save big money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to a very special D-Grads podcast. I am your host, Mike Lobel, a.k.a. Jay Hogart. I'm Shane Kippel. I play Gavin Spinner Mason.
I like the reversal of that.
Today,
yeah,
we're doing everything.
Keeps it fresh, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
today,
that's true.
Today, we're doing everything backwards, everything different. Today, we're not going to be rewatching anything. We're going to be doing more of a recap.
We are actually in between podcast episodes right now. We just did Shout Part 1, and we're going to release Shout Part 2 next week. Rather than rush into it, we thought we would just take a second. You know, we had to schedule everybody just right, and we wanted to make sure we got Deanna for this episode because Deanna Klimke, or as you better know her, Deanna Casaluce, or Alex from Degrassi, will be joining us. Deanna is now a full-on clinical and forensic psychologist. She's a therapist, which feels very appropriate given what's coming in part two. So before we get into that today, we're kind of doing a nice breather episode. We're going to answer some of your questions. I submitted my own fan questions.
You're not allowed to do that. That's
yeah,
a,
I can. Because I'm a fan now.
Yeah, but that's a breach of the code of conduct, Mike. How much of the spotlight do you really need?
So I did a quick calculation, and there were 15 episodes in season one. There were, we've done 7 episodes in season two. We did that special with Pat Mastroianni. So that would make this the 24th episode. We've done 24 episodes of D-Grads. If I'm missing one, which I really don't think I am, please scream at me on social media and Discord. I want to take all of the heat for that. Yeah.
On Patreon, we do in between, we've released a bunch of in between periods and some extra bonus content there. So this is kind of like, yeah, maybe nearing our 30th record.
I think I would like to start off by asking you, Mike, podcasting in review, in aggregate.
I think I have a future in podcasting. Yeah.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. In doing this, obviously there, we had no idea what to expect. You and I have spent a lot of time together over the years. We are no strangers to answering questions about the show, to analyzing certain topics, to answering fan questions. Yeah. But, with the podcast, it's a large undertaking. You know, it's the weekly commitment. It's the note taking. It's the technical aspect. So what, like, in what have you discovered are the pros and the cons of doing a podcast like this? What are your favorite parts and what are your least favorite parts?
I just like the idea that I'm becoming an expert on the show that I was on, which seems so, it seems silly when I say it. But I again, I just don't find actors watch a lot of their own stuff, especially if it's serialized television. Fans would always be talking about different things, the Degrassi black hole, for example. And I kind of had no idea who was falling through that black hole. So getting the answers to some of these questions and getting the background, I feel a little bit silly, you know, being on a show in hindsight, being on a show that I don't know all of the ins and outs of. And now I feel like I'm getting I'm steeped in Degrassi all the time. I am, and when I watch the episodes, I'm really enjoying it. Like, they are so fun, and I get to just, I don't have to worry about like memorizing my lines, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like I get to just sit back and just go along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being part of the carnival that makes the ride happen.
Okay. And so what about the cons? Things that were unexpected, things that stresses that have come along with it.
Well, you know, okay, here's a good thing. We get feedback from you guys, which we absolutely love, and we get a lot of positive feedback, and sometimes we get some criticism. And I think learning how to take criticism, determine whether or not it's constructive, because I still have thin skin in some areas of my life.
No. Are you an actor?
And I Yeah, exactly. And I feel it. I feel it all. So we, you know, it's this delicate balance I feel between my own, you know, taking time for our own mental health and work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we do want to give you guys a podcast that you can really love, something that you love. And also, I want to feel like we're adding something to the Degrassi conversation, which has been going on for decades already. You know, so I just hope that our take is fresh.
I agree. Those are,
God, Shane, those are hard questions. Why'd you ask me such hard questions?
Dude, come on. You think this is what we've been waiting for.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
We're part of this just, you know, freight train of a movement of a show, and it means so much to people, and the jargon, certain plot lines, the black hole, things that you said.
The train that's heading towards Craig, by the way.
It's
the same train.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good. So being a part of this and just getting to develop a new skill. And it's also a lot of fun talking to you, talking to our old cast members. It's,
as tired
as we might be at the end of the day, after taking the notes, after, working our other jobs and, you know, any other life stresses, we still make time for this. And even if we're tired, I still have a great time doing this because it's an outlet and it's always a stimulating conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't know, which one of us is going to be the one that's really on that week and who's going to be like kind of carrying the other one on their shoulders. Right?
That is really funny. And Shane and I have privately messaged each other after recordings where I'm like, oh man, thank God you like, you're on this week. Like you just carried me, you know,
yeah.
I'm so tired. And I had a million things and I got off of a plane and I, you know,
yeah. Yeah.
And it kind of always rotate.
Yeah. And how many times I've messaged you saying like, man, I am like in editing this. I am sure I'm the worst part of this podcast. And you're like, no, man,
but I feel like I'm always like, oh man, Shane said it so articulately and so succinct and short. And I'm just blabbering. I have a note. I'm going to be honest, guys. I have a literal note. And if you're on Patreon, you can see the video. It's a sticky note that's attached to my computer screen. It says, do not say, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest is the thing that I say 1,000 times every episode.
It's like your John Bernthal. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you this.
Exactly.
You're right.
It could be a drinking game, but honestly, that would be very dangerous to your health. So don't do it.
The cons are definitely the time commitment. It's a labor of love, but it is labor nonetheless to make time to hit our deadlines, which we try our best to do. That can be a little bit challenging, at times. And
also deciding what's going to in the editing game, which you're no stranger to, but I'm pretty new to. I find I'm a lot more critical with my own storytelling and my own answers. So I know how I would like myself to sound. And then I feel like I think you're eloquent in everything you say. And then when you do the final edit on the episode and I see that it's lost like 5 or 6 minutes, I'm like, he probably cut out some stuff, for himself. So it's just, it's a work in progress. I am loving it, but it definitely is, something that will take a lifetime to perfect. Also, as you were saying, we are trying to give everyone the best podcast that we can. And in doing that, because we have no script and we're sort of free falling here, we want to give as much respect to Degrassi. And as you've said so many times, we're stewards of this show. We're not trying to ruin anyone's memory of it by coming at it, by dismantling the show and, you know, for lack of talking crap about it. We really do love the show and we love the fans, but it keeps you sharp and it keeps you wanting to do better.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've found.
Always be growing and improving.
Yes.
I'm going to be honest. no. Okay. Here's another question. Before we get to some fan questions, I'm just so curious about this one. If Degrassi never, ever happened to you, what do you think you would be doing right now?
That's a tough one, Mike. Because I think about that every night as I'm trying to fall asleep into a real not rested sleep. I honestly don't know. I had a great time on the show. I so badly wanted to be an actor when I was young. And then Degrassi came about easily for me, like very, very close to the beginning of my career. To land a role on a show that is going to go on for 10 plus seasons is so rare. And then to play a character on that show that really resonates with fans. And because of that, the writers want to do more with you and test you and give you an arc that, you know, I'm so proud and grateful that I got to play someone like Spinner. But I also feel in my heart that because I had so many other interests, like I really, really loved playing music.
Music, yeah.
Obviously, like I'm becoming a pilot now, but I think because my love for performing, at least as an actor, it has changed, and it changed a while ago. So I think if I had to hold on and continue grinding it out as an actor, getting like small parts here and there and then like years in between things, I think I would have left this behind a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it probably would have been, you know, plan A, which was I was going to try to become a doctor.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that about you.
Little do you know from this facade and this, you know, from time to time airheadedness. Yeah, I actually was a really, really good student and still am, thankfully. But yeah, the plan was to be a doctor, and then acting kind of derailed everything.
Derailed your plan to be a doctor? Oh, man.
Yeah.
It ruined your life.
I did not say that, but as you know, it's a blessing and a curse. There are so many great things about this industry. And then the more success you see, then when it starts to slow down on you, and even if it doesn't, the pressure of you know, how about you talk for a minute? What would you have been doing had you never gotten your role on Degrassi?
Auto mechanic. Okay. Let's
no,
go to
no,
some
no.
mailbag
No,
questions.
No. You got it. No.
What? I,
no,
honestly, man, I have so many hobbies. I pick one. I'm into like antiquarian occult, collecting antiquarian occult books. That's a good question. I also love music, you know, I was in band for many, many years.
Did you just say that's a good question to your own question?
I was hoping you didn't notice that. Yeah. No, I mean, I think I probably would have done the music thing, and I think probably ultimately would have come back to be on the other side of camera and making stuff, movies, maybe documentaries. But
as in directing and writing?
There's a world in which I think about this sometimes when I think about an alternate version of me that just kind of like leaves everything behind and does something really more community-based. Yeah, more like working with underserved people or like giving back to the community in some way. I've worked with NGOs before as a filmmaker, but I've never worked for them in any other capacity. So I might do something like that, give something back to the community. I don't know.
Suffice to say, for both of us, had Degrassi never come along, and if acting never really, you know, manifested into what it did for us,
we could have saved the world.
We could have saved the world, but our lives would look very, very, very different if you consider the butterfly effect of that.
True, sliding doors. No. Shall we get to some mailbag questions?
Sure.
We love hearing from you guys, and you can reach us at dgradspodcast@gmail.com. And we are going to read some emails. I know we've been forgetting the emails for a little while, so we're going to make up for it. But we've got one here from Kelly. Kelly says, hello, I started watching Degrassi when I was in middle school, and it was one of those shows where I always needed another channel queued up for the last channel button on the remote in case my parents walked in. You remember that?
Yes, quick switch
off the channel. Yeah. I didn't want to get caught watching my horny teenagers making out on TV and then have my precious Degrassi taken away from me. This email's fire. I'm 28 now. And a dumb man has been ruining my life. I am so sorry, okay, Kelly. So I've been doing a hardcore Degrassi rewatch instead of going to therapy. It's working. Oh. I went for a walk the other day, but still wanted to consume Degrassi through my ears. So I decided to see if there were any recap podcasts to listen to. Lo and behold, there was the D-Grads podcast, and it had just recently started. The stars were aligning just for me. I was so excited by this discovery that I called my mom to tell her this podcast existed at the time, and I started my Degrassi binge. And no offense, she didn't care at all, but I did, and that's all that matters. All of this to say, thank you for making a woman going through a heartbreak very happy to have something to look forward to. I promise I'll actually get the proper mental help that I need, but for now, I will take my Degrassi rewatches and your Degrassi recaps as a brief reprieve from feeling sad.
You and me both. You and me both. That's a very sweet message. And
isn't it the sweetest?
I was actually talking. I could bring friends on specifically for conversations that I had with them today. I spoke to Mel about like the two of you have been proponents of therapy for a while now.
Yeah.
And I know I need it.
You gotta go, buddy.
I've done it before. I think I might take the plunge, man, because I'm tired of the nightmares.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I will say, Kelly, this email really touched my heart. That is true. We are no substitute for therapy, but we are a very close second. I really appreciate you sending this.
Yes, me too. All the best.
Crystal says, Shane and Mike, hello. And Crystal's question is, were there any funny moments? Is this the right one?
Not one. Not one funny moment in 9 years on set.
Crystal had question. Okay, so Crystal basically says that years ago, she asked you a bunch of questions on Cameo. And so she's going to flip it. So she's got a question for me.
Is this Crystal Redford?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, Crystal.
There we go.
Yes, we have a lengthy cameo relationship and conversation going on. Yes.
Amazing. So Crystal's got a question for me. Any funny moments for Jay that didn't make it in editing? And I did just want to speak about my most mortifying day on set.
That's you.
So if you're a hardcore Degrassi fan, you know that there was a scene where in the Sean episode where he goes back home, where Emma is feeding Jay grapes in a vineyard. Now, I don't know what off-the-wall writer dream this went up, but when I saw that, I was absolutely mortified because I was going to have to take my shirt off. Here I was on the last episode talking about I would do anything on our in-between periods saying like I auditioned for Queer as Folk and like agreed to full frontal nudity. Now I'm saying I was feeling embarrassed to take my shirt off in front of the, and then lo and behold, they cut that scene from the show. So I had this weird like negative feedback where I thought, oh no, like I took my shirt off on camera. And there's a screenshot online. Please don't look at it.
Oh, I'm looking at it for sure.
I'm also super pasty white because it was the end of the winter. And so I had no sun. So I'm like, I look like a ghost. I'm shirtless. And I'm such a dork in this scene. And Emma's feeding me grapes. It was a real jump the shark moment. I just didn't really get it. But they cut it. And I had like, had body shame issues after that for, like I still do.
Can I tell you a little something to make you feel better? So I was overweight in season one, and then I decided that you know, being on TV gets lots of people to start, you know, taking the aesthetic more seriously. So I got into the gym and I dropped a lot of weight, which really, you know, to all the fans out there, no one needs to be told that. But between the end of season one and midway through season two, I lost something like 55 pounds.
Wow, man.
And I got too skinny, and then I started gaining it back through muscle and the healthy way. But there was a shirtless scene in season two, which has got to be coming up any episode now, or maybe it's I think it was season two, where Spinner, Sean, Marco, and maybe Craig or maybe Jimmy, they're all playing basketball, and it's shirts versus skins. Now, Danny Clark in those days had a body, and yeah. I had just lost
his
weight.
Buff boy.
He was a buff boy, and he was taking that very seriously. I had just lost all this weight, but I had none of the muscle, and I still had some loose skin. So one of my older brothers used to be a bodybuilder, and I was nervous about how I would look. Bodybuilders have all of these tricks of how to be stage ready, you know, the week leading up, the night. He's like,
yeah, like dehydrating and stuff, right?
Exactly. So he's like, you know, this is going to suck, but if you really want to look as good as you possibly can tomorrow, you're going to go to the pharmacy. You're going to buy Preparation H. You're going to put that all over your chest. All over your stomach.
What?
And you're going to wrap yourself in saran wrap around the torso, and that's how you're going to sleep the night before.
Wow. And like a little Preparation H package.
Yeah, and I saw no difference. It did make it in, but I was hypercritical of
that. Sounds like a prank almost. Oh man, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's okay. But
the lengths we go to, hey?
I know, right?
To take our shirts off in front of the world.
What it would take for someone saying like, hey, can you go shirtless tomorrow? No, absolutely not.
Hold on. Let me call the pharmacy. How much prep H you got in stock?
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Thank you for sharing such a vulnerable story.
Thank you for sharing such a vulnerable
story. Yeah, honestly, I don't talk about that because it kind of haunts me. So this is the first time I've ever brought it up. But yeah, I still feel weird about it.
Would it make you feel even better knowing that the reason it didn't make the cut was because you made everybody else feel ashamed of their bodies and they needed to get back to the gym? How about that?
Well, yes, that would.
So that's the truth. And we have Linda Schuyler here.
Man, I need that. I need Linda Schuyler to sign a document saying it wasn't saying because of my pasty. Okay. All right. Mel's got a email here. Mel says, love the podcast. I started watching season two while listening to the podcast and went past your watching point. I'm almost on season two. It's been ages since rewatching from episode one. And surprisingly enough, with my cat passing away yesterday, I'm so sorry to hear that, Mel. Degrassi here and there in my spare time is the only thing that cheered me up so far. I'm really happy that we could be that for you. Your show and voices have helped me cheer up during grieving, and I just wanted to say thanks for the time and years you two gave up to make this show, a show which has helped me and others feel better when we need it. Thank you. That is also very sweet. Thank you.
Very sorry about your cat.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of love with pets, and it's, we all know that day is coming, hopefully later rather than sooner, but it's terrible. I've lost many pets in my time here.
Oh, it's so hard. I still think about those moments, and I'll never forget those. I mean, they were family members.
With a love more pure than basically anything else that you could hope for.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just like unconditional.
Yeah. Yeah. I think with cats, there are some conditions, but still less than humans.
Yeah. I mean, it depends. Like if you're the person who feeds the cat, generally, like you're the best that you're the but best that's, thing ever.
But that's the condition. If you,
that is the condition.
I think dogs will still love you even if you stop feeding them.
No, that's true. Cats are more like people. They're screw this guy.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that. And thanks for sharing that with us, Mel. Kimmy W says, for Shane, you mentioned you were a new actor when you got Degrassi. What did you learn most about yourself or the profession after season one? And what were you able to carry into season two? At any time, were you afraid of being cut from the show or not being asked to come back for another season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There were plenty of times that I was scared I wasn't going to continue making the cut. I'm happy I did. It was the technical aspect that I really needed to learn and learn quickly. Hitting my mark, framing, but it was also kind of getting out of my own way and not pulling back on moments, not internalizing moments, having them be more present, listen to the dialogue, and repress emotions, even if they don't seem to make sense with what the action lines, the dialogue, what it's calling for. If you're, if it's an angry scene, but you feel like laughing, laugh, just go with, be present in the moment. And I felt, even though I was having fun, I was very uptight in season one, but I could see now being, well into season two that especially looking at my own performance, I feel more relaxed, and that those were things I need to.
I feel like I know the acting teacher who inspired that in you. Was that a Louis Bomander?
It was a Louis Bomander. Yeah.
Deny nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because some people laugh when they're feeling really sad. It's like an uncomfortable, reaction. And people are so complicated, right? So
yeah. And you could be in a screaming match with someone and start laughing, and then the other person will start laughing, and it cuts the tension in a weird way, even though you're both really angry.
Yeah.
We're just messed up emotionally, but that's the beauty of acting. You're trying to capture lightning in a bottle. So don't deny yourself any of these weird feelings that come up.
I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love Lewis. Okay, cool. Wait, should we do another question of mine? Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to sneak this in here. I'll just disguise them as other people's questions. Okay, so Timmy the robot mutant says,
hey, Timmy.
Timmy's not real.
I know. Thanks. Oh, God.
Okay. What's something you've seen in the rewatch so far that made you go, dang, I wish I had done that differently?
Everything?
No, really?
No, not everything. I'm like, okay. We've talked about this before. You haven't seen yourself on camera yet, okay? I mean, within reason, you haven't. Jay has not come into Degrassi yet. And we can revisit this topic.
Boy.
When did Jay come in? Season three, early season three? Mm-hmm. We'll see how many of your scenes you wouldn't like to have back.
Yeah, I would love to have all of them back, please.
Exactly.
There were some lines that I thought, okay, that those lines are peanut butter for actors. And when I say that, I mean, like, they're sticky. They're hard to say. They're not natural lines. But you gotta say them because the writers wrote them, and you get fired if you don't say them.
Cassie should have coached us on all of those peanut butter lines.
Honestly, she handled those like a professional, like just rounding the corners perfectly.
Yeah,
some of those lines are really hard to say. There are some Degrassi-isms.
And even if they're not hard to say, the line itself, it might be one word, but it's so ridiculous to say that most actors would really struggle with the example I always go back to is, David Schwimmer in Friends with the pivot. Like, if you imagine what that script looked like, it was just, it's one word. It's pivot. Pivot, pivot. But to make it one of the most memorable moments in a show like Friends that went 10 years and had so many amazing lines, that's one line that he took some creative liberty with. And Cassie had that certain spark that she could just turn a nothing line into something so adoring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She put so much
life.
Yeah, there was a lot of life and there was a lot going on in each of those lines. It was almost like she enjoyed the challenge of taking a sticky line and making it hers. Mm-hmm. I was always freaked out going like, how the heck am I going to say this? Like, and I just tried to make it as effortless or throw it away as much as I could. That was how I handled that. Like lines like, uh-oh, bun in the oven.
Yeah.
Like Jay had these weird kind of like sarcastic ways of asking questions that had the bit of a sharp point to them. And they were kind of like silly. I probably would say something like, damn, she's pregnant, huh? You know, like that feels way more natural to me than like, bun in the oven.
But you killed it. That's the thing though. Sometimes it's appropriate for a throwaway for a nothing line like that. But sometimes if you lean into it, there is some magic there. But if you lean into it the wrong way, then it's just campy and you might as well have just thrown it away, right?
Totally.
A lot of it comes down to just natural abilities too. And Cassie, great actress, but she also just had so much natural charisma and the camera loved her. And,
She can also kind of turn on the like, I don't give a damn switch,
which I think is invaluable as an actor, right?
Yeah. She just goes like, okay, who cares? I'm going to play.
Play is the operative term there. Yeah.
Totally.
You need to play.
This is a fun question. Since we're on season two, and this is from Discord. We've switched over from email to Discord. Since we're on season two already, wow, how was it having new kids join the cast as mains?
I loved it. I remember I met Jake Epstein a couple weeks before we went back for season two at a different audition. And he came up and introduced himself. I can't remember much more in detail than that, but he came up, introduced himself, very nice guy. And he said that he actually got this role on Degrassi. So we'd be seeing a lot of each other.
Hello, Shane.
Yeah. 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 Real
pleasure to be here.
Real Cockney accent. It's so you would never expect that from Jake Epstein. Yeah.
Either that
also,
or he was
Benedict
auditioning for Oliver Twist at that time.
Benedict Cumberbatch is from the Deep South. He's from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, right? So it's, you never know with these people.
It's incredible.
It really is. But I enjoyed it. Like you come back and you see the same faces and now you're still young. You're still green, but now your show is going back to season two and you're excited for all of these new additions. And then you're just bringing in new faces to your family, but you still kind of have seniority.
What
I found really strange was after Spinner's Run was done, but I was asked to come back and cameo, and we had like the cast that led out the series on the back end who had never, most of them had never met me before. And when I walked in, they were treating me like it was hallowed ground where I was walking. And that was strange. Like, I remember that. It was you had that experience.
I remember exactly that moment. And it's crazy because 7 years prior to that, that was me walking in on my first day. And I got to say, I would imagine there's the tendency to want to feel like, you know, there's new cast members coming in, to feel like, you know, the firstborn child, like the second child is here, right? And to feel, just to feel a little less attention and feel like you're not the most shiny or whatever. So I thank you guys for really welcoming me in because
it wasn't my choice.
They all took you aside. They were like, Shane,
yeah,
be nice.
God.
But I didn't know what I was walking
What's his
onto.
Name again? Mark. Yeah, what? Matt.
Mark. And that's why you still call me Mark to this day.
It's true.
But it was, I'd been on sets that felt really gatekeepy and toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know as an actor what you're walking into. And I walked onto Degrassi and everybody was so welcoming. And it always felt like that. So, so then it was like that sort of, oh my God, what was that Rockstar movie?
Are you talking about Rockstar?
I'm talking about Rockstar, the movie Rockstar, yeah, okay. Where it comes full circle.
Mark Wahlberg, right?
Mark Wahlberg in the beginning, he gets plucked out of the crowd and he goes on and then he becomes this crazy rock star. And the end when he's like, all right, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
There's just that natural moment to sort of hand the torch off, and he pulls a young kid that reminds of himself up there, and he can experience that joy that this kid is experiencing, and their mind is blown, and he's just able to, like, he has the ability to just like happily experience that joy and hand over the torch. And I really felt like that on the show. I can't remember who it was that I ran into. I don't know. It might have been like Melinda or something, or somebody who, when I came in, they said something and they started chatting me up about the character and how they've been watching the show forever. And I could see that excitement on their face. And I was like, oh man, this is what it's like. Cool.
Yeah.
Here you go.
It's,
have fun.
There is a part of me that's, I'm very happy I was one of the original cast members, but I'll never understand that feeling of now being a part of the cast. Of a powerhouse show like that you're already a fan of, and now you're a main cast member or even a recurring cast member. I'll use the Friends example again, like how Paul Rudd must have felt when he joined, when he's like the seventh friend on there by the end. It must have been incredible, incredible feeling. Fun fact about Rockstar, by the way, just going back to that, and you can't even call it being sidetracked. Oh, the dude that Mark Wahlberg pulls up at the end is the lead singer of Alter Bridge, which is, Alter Bridge is Creed.
What?
Without Scott, what? Stapp? Scott Stapp.
So like a better version of Creed.
I mean,
I'm gonna get fired for that.
Creed has some songs that will live rent-free in our hearts and minds forever. Then I will feel that way happily. So that guy also doubled for all of Mark Wahlberg's singing scenes in Rockstar. That was the real guy that he pulled up at the end.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I appreciate that.
You're not sorry.
Okay, great. Let's go to Molly, and this is I like this question. This is from Discord. What songs, shows, and movies were you guys into when the episodes were airing? Since it's been Enrique Iglesias and Friends every week for the rest of the world, it'd be cool as the seasons progress to know how your taste changed or if they stayed the same. And to follow up, are you still into those songs and shows today?
I was huge into Seinfeld, Simpsons, Family Guy, and South Park in those days. Also, Friends, Everybody Loves Raymond. So those were probably like for the meat and potatoes of my time on the show. In terms of music, when I was younger, it was everything my older brother was listening to. So like your Pink Floyd and your Nirvana and your Alice in Chains.
Those bands are back in right now, by the way.
I know, right? The kids minus love one key component.
What? But, Kurt Cobain?
Yeah, any of those grunge lead singers. Any of them.
Any of them, it's true.
Yeah. But then it was Christina Schmidt
Terry that actually got me into Blink 182, and then that sprang this punk phase, which then mm-hmm. turned into a screamo phase, which settled in hard rock, and I still listen to all those bands today.
I guess that was growing up.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here I was listening to my Green Day Dookie on cassette, and then like years later, these guys, I was like, this isn't punk, but it's catchy as heck.
Green Day and Blink were my very first concert together.
Really? Oh, they did a double bill. Sweet.
They did? Yeah.
Nice.
It was called the Pop Disaster Tour.
Yeah, and back then, like, we had tapes. This is way before Degrassi. I was a moody teenager, and I liked to dye my hair black and wear black nail polish. I was goth, which was emo before emo existed.
I think people know what goth is.
Do they?
I think so.
Let me explain to you, young whippersnappers.
It's still out.
Goth is. But I feel like it's been co-opted by other, because the music was not emo. Like, it wasn't. It was Nine Inch Nails. It was industrial. So I was listening to strapping washing machines to chainsaws and recording them and being like,
sounds, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Have you checked out that new chainsaw strapped to a washing machine record? It's freaking awesome.
Did you hear what he said? I want to bleep you like an animal.
Yeah, exactly. That was my jam. And I still have a soft spot for Nine Inch Nails. Actually, I went to a Nine Inch Nails concert once.
Soft spot because that's where they pierced?
Oh, let's keep these dad jokes rolling.
Yeah, you did. This is your outlet for that, right? Just
true.
Don't let your wife know.
She can't listen to this. Otherwise, she'll divorce me. but yeah, no, I was really into Nine Inch Nails. I was really into industrial music, like Frontline Assembly, and I got a little bit into metal there. There's some metal bands that I liked. I was a big Tool fan. Come on, Danny Carey. I was a drummer, so like all I wanted to do was be Danny Carey.
My favorite meme that I've ever seen of all time, this was before Fear Inoculum came out, like probably 5 or 6 years before, and it was it was an Interstellar picture when they were on the water planet. Which, you know, 1 minute there, 7 years at home.
Yeah.
So it's two talk boxes, and one person says, 1 minute here is 7 years at home. And the other one said, cool, we'll wait for the next Tool album here. It's brilliant.
That's funny.
Brilliant.
I was probably, so I actually, I don't know if you know this, Shane, but I took the TTC. I took the bus to set a bunch of times. When I couldn't
borrow. I did not know that.
Yeah, if I couldn't borrow a car, I would take the bus to set. So I felt like, and the set was like out in the boonies, but yeah, so I would go out there. So I'd listen on my CD Walkman or probably my iPod version one or whatever back then, listening to Enema, being all moody, staring out the window, being like, oh yeah, like God, I'm so heartbroken.
Yeah.
This is getting really embarrassing. Personal.
It's not embarrassing. This is what everyone comes for anyway. Okay. Last question I'm going to ask of you, sir, in review, doing this podcast and rewatching the show, to the point that we find ourselves now.
Mm-hmm.
How has this changed your view on the show that we were a part of? Like, has it evolved? Has it not just in knowing a little bit more about the jargon, but like how do you view it? Can you see what the fans have seen all these years?
Totally. I'm also viewing it more as like through the lens of an adult who, you know, I worry about the kids these days. I was really pleasantly surprised how the show handled the subject matter of Shout 1 and 2, sexual assault. And I think I was convinced in that moment the reason why the show is so long lasting and why it made such an impact, because it clearly was handling these subjects in a way that had never been attempted before and with such care. And I know that they wanted to get this right. I feel like the episode was quite trauma informed. To be honest, I expected to look back and see a lot of tone deaf, you know, and there are, I'm sure Degrassi does have moments on the show that are, they just don't translate to our current thinking, but
you can't fault them for that because at the time it wasn't tone deaf, right?
It was just
the time. Now totally. You got 25 years to it. Everything's changed.
But exactly. Yeah, but this felt so current to me, and it actually felt brave to use the R word, just to use the word rape in a show, felt really mm-hmm. brave. And it still does. You know, we watch social media videos and they censor those words, mm-hmm. right? We've got to say grape and we've got to, you know, essay in order to avoid these filters. And I get that. Those are corporate platforms. They're commercial platforms. They have mandates, and they're doing it ultimately to prevent bullying and harassment.
And they also don't have disclaimers like they don't have disclaimers. Like Degrassi would.
That's right. That's true.
A big thing. You put a disclaimer in, you can get away with a lot, but sure. Because social media doesn't have it.
But the one thing that I wonder about that when it's you, if we can't use those words, if we have to sort of smooth over the words because they're too potent, because they're too powerful, then are we doing a disservice to what those words mean, what they represent?
I see what you're saying. I would venture to say that that's specifically exclusively a social media thing. Mm-hmm. When it comes to, you know, Netflix shows, Amazon originals, HBO shows, they have no problem using language like that. But I don't know how network television, like what Degrassi was on, would feel about language like that if they've gone the more PG-13 shelter people from this type of vocabulary. Or so it is a good question, but
I'm just wondering if it's going to have an impact on culture, because social media, it really is having such a huge impact on culture and how we talk about things. And I wonder if it's like, I heard something the other day from a voice actor who puts out a social media platform, and they were talking about how kids are so afraid of being perceived as cringe that they won't be expressive, they won't act out, even because even her students as voice actors who are coming to her to learn how to be a voice actor, and she's this established voice actor, she's saying like the students don't realize how kind of cringy or dorky it looks like to be that emotive in the sound booth when you're doing these crazy character voices. I'm not going to do one. But you've got to kind of like embody that physically. And she's saying she's noticed that younger generations are trying to circumvent that. They're trying to opt out of having to look cringe doing it.
And then they can't hit pay dirt.
Yeah, they can't. Yeah. Exactly. They can't hit the tone, the pitch of what's required. And so I do kind of wonder about, you know, the softening or the cooling of, you know, people feeling like they're unable to express themselves properly or accurately.
I would encourage anyone who is afraid of looking cringe in a sound booth to look at some behind the scenes videos of the filming of Smeagol from Lord of the Rings.
Oh my God!
Or to bring up our Louisianan, star Benedict Cumberbatch when he was playing Smaug in The Hobbit, and he is on all fours acting like a dragon in one of those suits mm-hmm. that have all the sensors all over it,
I've
and
seen
a camera
clip,
in front of his face. Like it's, or any of these people that create video games, mm-hmm. Or like as video game characters and have to, I mean, at a certain point, you just have to get out of your own way and realize that sometimes looking cringy is the only way forward. So if you're too tied up in how you look, at the expense of, you know, finding that thing that could make you successful, you're cutting yourself down at the knees.
Yeah. So I'm happy to see that it still holds up and that it still feels very, it just feels very potent. And I was kind of surprised to watch Shout and just to see how timeless, unfortunately, how current it felt and how willing to name it that they were. And I'm proud of that.
I am by the day more and more proud that I got to be on a show that tackled things the way that it did and took the care and responsibility with storylines and characters that Degrassi did.
Thank God it's a good show, hey Shane?
Yeah, that would have turned out to be. We just abandoned the podcast because they're like,
with this show.
Why did anyone watch this ever? All right, Mike.
All right, buddy.
Take us home.
Next time we are back in it. We're going to be doing Shout Part 2, Deanna Klimke, or Deanna Castellucci, as we all remember her, will be joining us. And, I think we all know it's going to be a heavy one. But thank you for hanging out with us on this little detour. Address all your questions to us at dgradspodcast@gmail.com. We are on Patreon,
the only place where you could get to see all the cringy faces we make as we're talking here.
There we go.
This has been another Dgrads podcast, not a rewatch, a recap, if you will. And we will talk to you next week.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.